Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Friday at Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher is here. I'm Bob Davis, and I'm here, too, unlike yesterday. But we're glad that you're with us today. The phone lines are open, and we'll welcome your calls for Bible questions or personal issues at 844-322-2742. And that's the number in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, friends, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and welcome back. Glad to have you back in studio with me today.
Thank you very much. Glad you're feeling better, my friend. Thank you very much for that. I understand you had quite a party yesterday in my absence.
We did. As the cat's away, the mice will play, and that's what we did. We had a great time on the broadcast. Lots of questions that we answered, and some great calls came in, and we would love to see that today, too. So let's have a conversation. Let's talk about what's on your mind today. Could be a Bible passage that you would like clarity on. It could be a situation that you're dealing with that's just right in your face and you don't know where to go, what to do. Yeah. Let's talk about it. 844-322-2742. That's the number. Give it a call and let's talk on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Yesterday we talked about the fact that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. We've escaped the corruption that's in the world as a result of sinful desires. We are able to participate in the divine nature through the precious and great promises that God has given us in this new covenant. And that is a big difference from man-made religion. This is all the result of God's grace, God's work in us through Jesus Christ. Religion, we're going to be miles away from what Peter is talking about here. But he goes on in the passage, and that's what we want to do today at the top of the hour, is to go on in this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 5. For this very reason, what reason? The fact that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him. As a result of the fact that we have all these great and precious promises and that we have escaped from the corruption that is in this world and we are participating in the divine nature. For these reasons, this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Add to it. I love this word supplement in the Greek. It means to furnish. So you buy a house and it's an empty place. And what do? You furnish it. You fill it out with all the things that make it a home. And that's what Peter is saying here, is let this faith become full. And he's going to list out the things that this faith, all the different aspects of the fullness of what faith looks like. So he says, make every effort. That means to be eager. That means to be earnest, showing sincere and intense conviction. I mean, this is a reality.
Yeah.
When you go from death to life, when Christ comes to live inside of you, boy, something has happened. I mean, you are brand new, and you know you're brand new. And so he's saying, be eager to live out who you are in Christ. Be eager to embrace this new life that you have and really participate to the full in this divine nature, the very life of God. So be earnest, be eager, be sincere in doing that to furnish your faith. And here's the list. Furnish your faith with virtue. And I love this word. If you think of the great American experiment, our country, the United States of America, virtue is a huge aspect of making this experiment work. Without citizens who act with virtue, we're going to collapse. Mm-hmm. So we have the winning of our freedom. That was done in 1776 as we won that war, that Revolutionary War. And then we kind of ordered that freedom by the Declaration of Independence and by the U.S. Constitution. But none of that is going to work, or that freedom is not going to last without virtue.
Right.
And that is simply showing a good moral quality. So when we were lost and dead in trespasses and sins, we were marked by immorality. We lived to carry out the desires of the flesh. We lived to follow the ways of this world. So the lost world is marked by immorality, sexual immorality, immorality of all kinds. Virtue is the opposite of that. That marks this new life in Christ Jesus. So we add virtue to our faith. We furnish our faith with knowledge, and then knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness. This is a great quality. This is a great characteristic. It's that quality, that characteristic, that keeps us from succumbing to the trials and the tribulations of life. There's something tied to righteousness here, this faithfulness and living out who we are as children of God, steadfastness. We add godliness, and godliness, we add brotherly affection, and brotherly affection, then we add love. And so this is the expanded view, Peter's expanded view of Paul's verse in Galatians 5:6. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So Peter just fills in some of the gaps of faith to love.
Yeah.
And this love is the divine nature. God is love. So when we, by faith, express the love of God out there in the world, we are participating in the divine nature. That love has been poured out into our hearts, and now it is overflowing into the lives of others. So this is the life that God has called us to, and this is how we fill out that faith, furnish it, fully supply this faith that we have in Christ Jesus, and the end result of it is love for others. Now, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. So what is going to stymie our growth? What is going to, kind of stop us dead in our tracks? Mm-hmm. Well, this forgetfulness, this blindness, this nearsightedness, that tells us that we aren't sure that we've been cleansed of our sins. Now, religion, traffics right there. That's what religion does. It tries to make sure that we're clean and right with God, and so we come up with rules, we come up with regulations, we come up with all of these things. Well, when we come to a point and realize that our sins have been forgiven, then we can really embrace this grace that we have in Jesus, and we can embrace this life that we've been given. So let's not forget that Jesus took away our sins once and for all. That's where we start. And as we rest right there, then we can see this faith of ours being fully furnished, fully equipped to enable us to truly participate in the divine nature and reflect the love of God out there in the world. That's what this Christian life is all about.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for those thoughts, Bob. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. As I said, we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. Whether you live in the U.S. or Canada, it's a toll-free call, and the number's the same, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. If you have something you'd like to discuss with us, well, we'd like to discuss it with you. Once again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. And friends, for everything you do to support the message of grace and life in the Lord Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel, we say a heartfelt thank you. And with your gift today, we want to demonstrate our thanks to you by sending you a copy of Andrew Farley's highly insightful and witty book called God Without Religion. Donate now or anytime when you visit basicgospel.net. And as you make your gift, be sure to request your copy of God Without Religion. Well, once again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. And Bob, actually a three-part question from someone who was attending the conference, and this person would like your thoughts about the assertion that we're living in the kingdom era, and second, about churches promoting healing, and thirdly, about pastors who are always trying to get people to come down forward and pray.
Well, those are three great questions, and you know, there's a lot of discussion, as the kingdom come, are we a part of the kingdom? And I always like to point people to a passage in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, and I think we get the answer right there. And it all comes down to what has actually happened. What did God do as far as this salvation is concerned? So actually it's 1:13 and 14. Sorry about that. And we read, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." So that's what has taken place. We were a part of the domain of darkness. That's where we lived. We were in the darkness. Now we are in the light. We were in the realm of Satan. We were in this world. That's where we lived. We were under the control of sin and death. But God delivered us from that domain, and he placed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So that's where we are, in that kingdom. So you look at our lives, it's a tale of two kingdoms. We were in the lost kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and now we're in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's beloved Son. So that's where we are. Are we a part of the kingdom of God? Absolutely. We've been placed into it by grace through faith in Jesus. Now, in this kingdom of God's beloved Son, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That makes it a great kingdom to be a part of.
Yeah.
Well, we also have the King living inside of us, Jesus Christ himself. And so he is ruling and reigning in and through us. Mm-hmm. So you're a part of the kingdom. So what does kingdom living look like? Well, it simply looks like this. Paul tells us in Galatians 2:20 that we have been crucified with Christ. We no longer live, yet Christ lives in us, the King in his kingdom. And this life that we live in the flesh, this new life that we live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loves us and gave himself for us. That's what kingdom living is all about. And it gets back to what we were discussing at the top of the hour, that kingdom living is participating in the divine nature, and it's expressing the love of God out there in the world. That's what kingdom living is all about. It is by faith expressed in love toward others. Now, one other passage that I really appreciate and like as it relates to this particular question is in Romans chapter 5. And it says, "Now the law came in to increase the trespass, for where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So in this kingdom of God's beloved Son, grace reigns. That's the rule in God's kingdom.
Right.
Grace. We are under the grace of God. This grace of God is the very thing that saved us. This grace of God is the very thing that sustains us. This grace of God is the very thing that empowers us to live out who we are as children of God. Now, as far as pastors calling people down to the altar to pray, you know, a lot of times we want to see success. I know, for example, when I cut the grass at our house, I like doing that because I can, as soon as I'm finished, I can see the accomplishment. I can see and take joy in that. Disciple building and pouring your life into others and connecting them to the love of Christ, that's something that you can't see.
Right.
It takes a long time for, oftentimes for, quote, fruit to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes pastors get hooked on seeing people come down the aisle. It shows, hey, their ministry is being effective and that sort of thing. And it may be faulty understanding as far as the work of Christ in somebody's life. Instead of teaching that it's complete, that it's finished, you say, hey, you need to keep coming down. You need to keep rededicating. You need to keep doing X, Y, and Z. And so they're teaching an incompleted work, and the constant invitation to come down and to rededicate is an example of that. So a pastor could either be hooked on trying to see that his ministry is effective and seeing people come down the aisle is that shot in the arm, that boost of encouragement that, yes, things are going well, or he's teaching an incomplete message. Either way, I think we need to step back and say, listen, as ministers of the gospel, I want you to know the fullness that you have in Christ. I want you to know that you are complete, and there's nothing that you need to do to add to that, to add to the work of Jesus. So let's all just rejoice together that the work has been done. Let's rest. And then let's be encouraged to go and live that out in day-to-day life.
You know, that healing and health is a big issue as
that's,
well.
That's a big issue as well. And, we want healing. We want health. We want wealth.
And we want it right now.
That's right. That's exactly right. But we have to rest in the fact that this gospel of Jesus has healed our souls completely. We were sick with sin, and we have been healed of that disease once and for all through the shed blood of Jesus.
Another question that many believers struggle with, and I don't know why, but the question is, will God ever say, depart from me as a believer?
God will never say to a believer, depart from me, for I never knew you. He says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So it's just the opposite.
Yeah.
Now, he did say, we do see this passage in Matthew 7, where Jesus will look at certain individuals and say to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. So this is a statement, a condemnation to those who are lost. And the reason that you know that they are lost is because they are relying on their works as a means to grant them entry into heaven. They say to Jesus, look at all the things that we did in your name. Look at all the things we did. Well, works aren't going to get you to heaven. Works aren't going to enable you to draw near to God. Works aren't going to give you righteousness or impart life to you. So there's only one work that counts, and that's the work of Jesus. So they are making a case for themselves based on their merit, based on their works, based on their efforts. Yeah. And if you go further up the passage, you will see that it is talking to false prophets.
Right.
So God will never say to a believer, depart from me, I never knew you. That is reserved for the false prophets who are relying on their works, their merit, and in the end, they are simply workers of iniquity, and Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Very good. Thank you for that, Bob. And friends, over the weekend would be a great time to check into a very, very rich resource for Christian learning. That is the Basic Gospel YouTube channel. Just about any subject or question that you might have has been addressed in video by Bob Christopher. And to see the complete list, just visit basicgospel.net/YouTube. Now, some of the titles that you'll find there, one, should believers confess their sins? Another title, can a believer bounce in and out of fellowship? And the most recent, How Can I Grow Close to God? That's a big subject for a lot of people, and you're going to find that in the archive when you visit basicgospel.net/YouTube. Well, Bob, another question here. As a new covenant believer, why do I still struggle with depression and anxiety?
That is a great question, and a lot of times we think as new covenant believers, as people who really understand the finished work of Jesus Christ, that everything should just be wonderful all the time. We should just be filled with abundant joy all of the time. We should never have a bad thought in our heads. We should never have a desire of the flesh ever show up ever again. But when you look at all of those things, you realize those are unrealistic expectations. That's just not how it works. Even as new covenant believers, we can open up the Bible, for example, or maybe we can just simply be talking to the Lord, and this really crazy thought will just race through our heads. Yeah. And it may be kind of the worst thought you've ever had. And that's just the way it is. And sometimes when we start to analyze that, why did I think that? What's going on? We can start going down a negative path. We can get fearful that maybe I just don't know all the things that I need to know. Maybe my faith isn't genuine enough, and we start to question. And that leads to disappointment in ourselves. That leads to fear. Out of that fear, we can get angry and frustrated. Out of that anger and frustration, we can go down to self-pity. We can start having pity parties. And then that can lead to depression and even despair.
Yep.
So where did that start? Well, stinking thinking and unrealistic expectations, sometimes misplaced dependencies. And so what's the solution to that? To get realistic expectations. Yeah. And to get back to what is true. The Bible never says that the desires of the flesh are going to go away. It simply says if you walk in the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Yeah. So we shouldn't be surprised we have those things. We shouldn't be surprised that sometimes our thinking isn't aligned with the truth of the Word of God. That's why Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. He also says, be anxious for nothing. So that's part of the human experience. So don't think you're unusual. Get back to truth. And let your heart respond to that truth with an attitude of thanksgiving, and that will start changing those feelings from feelings of anxiety to feelings that are generated by truth.
In the time we have left, did Jesus experience hell after the cross?
No, he didn't. I mean, he experienced death on the cross. He finished his work there. There's a theology that says Jesus had to go into hell and to defeat Satan on his turf. There's no passage in the Bible that teaches that whatsoever. What Jesus did, it says he was put to death in the flesh, made alive in the spirit. And I think he went and talked to those saints of old and says, you know, come be with me. It is finished. It's over. Let's give you all that you've been waiting for as a result of the finished work of Christ.
Absolutely. Bob, thanks for that. And friends, that's it for another week here at Basic Gospel. Over the weekend, if you have a question about the Christian life or need input for an issue you're facing, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742. At that number, you can record a voicemail, and we'll give you a response on the Basic Gospel program this coming week. Again, that number is 844-322-2742, and it's available 24 hours a day, even over the weekend, as a matter of fact. Friends, be sure to join Bob Christopher online for Sunday Morning Live. That's 9:30 every Sunday morning, linked to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. He would love for you to join him, and it's a great opportunity to continue your growth and maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ over the weekend. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, wishing you all a great weekend in the Lord Jesus and inviting you to join us again on Monday for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.